Again, it's my turn. Can you remember being a little kid, waiting for your turn? Maybe you were waiting at the zoo, you wanted to feed the animals, you were at a merry-go-round. Me, I remember wanting to sit in the front seat of the car. I was the oldest, I used to get that opportunity a lot. But I was always pushing my way for my turn. In preparation today, I read Mark 6, 1 through 6, wherein Jesus is preaching in his hometown. The townspeople were curious when they heard him speak, and they liked when they saw his miracles and when they watched him heal the sick, but they seemed to have a lack of faith. Jesus seemed to need to do something, and his 12 apostles were with him, and he sent them out. He taught them, and he sent them out to help him spread his message throughout the land. It was their turn. Their turn to go out and spread the word of our Lord. They had been followers of Christ, and now it was time for them to become fishers of men, bringing many to become followers as well. Jesus instructed them not to bring any necessities, just the clothes on their back, as we heard, and the shoes on their feet. He wanted them to rely wholly upon the Holy Spirit to guide them and to provide for them. Let's take a moment and really imagine if we were going to set out for a trip and we were told to leave all our stuff behind. If we were taking an airplane, we won't have to worry about the extra baggage charge, but what if I told you after service, take your pocketbooks, ladies, leave everything here in the pews. We're going to break into groups of two, and we're going to go out with nothing except what we have here. We're not taking our money, our charge cards, no debit card allowed, and no cell phone. It's pretty hard to imagine, but that's basically what the apostles did. Luke 9, 3-6 reads, he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Think about that. I can relate because I've had some catastrophes and experiences in my life that just set me upside down. I'm sure most of us have had something that just stops our world as we know it. We're going along day to day, everything's well, and all of a sudden something happens and everything seems to change. We get lost, we get worried. I know I was worried about how I would provide for my family. How will we make their children have their stuff? We all have stuff. But in times like that, I felt very alone. I felt like I was in a hole and I couldn't get out of it. It was a pretty scary time. But during the times of despair, although I was alone and frightened, I relied on the Holy Spirit. As many of you know, I was a single mom for many years, and I took the responsibility of raising my two girls very seriously. So when my world was shaken, my first thought was how I would manage and care for these two. Questions ran through my mind. But there were questions really about stuff. If I didn't have my house, where were we going? Where would we live? What would happen if I couldn't give them the stuff that they needed as they were growing up? I prayed, and during these times of despair, I did ask Jesus to carry me through. And looking back, I know that's exactly what happened, because I couldn't have gotten over some of the humps that life threw my way without his help. Honestly, it took reflection and maturity on my part to realize that I was really always right where I was supposed to be in life. As the old saying goes, things happen in life for a reason. And looking back at these moments in my life, I know that they really truly have deepened my faith. When I was sick, for example, many of my family and friends, they stepped up to help me through the challenging times. When the apostles, set out with nothing more than the clothes on their backs, God expected his followers to provide comfort and necessities for them. He provided for me through my family and friends, just as he provided for the 12 apostles through the believers of Christ. Luke 12:24 reads, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Let's think about that for a moment. The animals don't inherit their homes. Their futures aren't laid out by prior generations. Take a bird. The mama bird builds a nest, feeds her babies until they're able to leave the nest and do it all over, and the process begins again. You see, God provides for the birds and all the animals in the same way that he provides for each one of us. It simply takes trust and faith. James 1, 2 to 4 states, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." I'm currently reading a book called Revival by Adam Hamilton. It's a book about the life of John Wesley. In it, Hamilton speaks about Wesley, who was a seafaring man, yet Wesley put his fears aside and boarded a ship to the United States, where he began his mission here in Savannah, Georgia. Hamilton goes on to say, "It is interesting how God works in the storms of life." He says he is not suggesting that God sends those storms, but if we're paying attention, we certainly can see that God uses them and works through them. Storms often play a part in great revivals of faith. The tragedies and challenges that we call the storms of life do not have to destroy us. Placed in God's hands, they become a part of our defining story and open the door to new possibilities. We all have our wants, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with wanting things. But what's most important? It's our needs. Needs like food, shelter, clothing, and family. Family is a need. So could you imagine being one of the 12 apostles setting out to spread the word of our Lord with just a few simple things, such as the clothes on their backs? It seems strange, but we know that through his believers and followers, God provided for them as they set out on their very important journeys. As I got older, I became more aware of what God provided for me. And I also realized that during the times of my life that seemed to be the most challenging, they were actually lessons that have strengthened me and they have deepened my faith. Jesus chose these 12 men, his apostles, to serve him and to preach his word. The word apostle comes from the Greek word, and I'm going to try and say it, apostelion, which means send forth, or apostelos, which means messenger. The apostles were followers of Christ who had watched him minister to the people and were now being sent forth as men, as messengers to minister in his name, with the ability to perform miracles and to heal the sick as well. Matthew 10:1 states, Jesus called his 12 disciples to give them the authority to drive out the impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. You see, the apostles were set out to become fishers of men. As God's people, we can all learn from Mark's gospel. We must take the time to discern what it is that God is calling each of us to do. Are we followers of Christ? How can we become people who bring others to be followers of Christ as well? I do ask myself if I could drop everything, leave everything behind, and walk off to spread the good news of the world, the Lord. I'm not sure I could do it the way the apostles did it. Jesus teaches that we must not only be followers, but that we must also become fishers of men while spreading his word. And luckily for us, he's not asking us to leave everyone we love and everything we have, but he is asking us to continue to spread his word. There are many ways to spread God's message of love and faith. Actually, if I'm being honest, Pastor sent out a request for coverage on two Sundays, one in July and one in August, so that he could have some well-deserved time off. I hesitate to admit this, but it took me a couple of days to answer the request. As I was pondering it, the first thing I did was look up what was the liturgical message for the morning, and I said to myself, what am I going to say about that? But I relied on the Holy Spirit to help me. You see, it was my turn. Not my turn to share a duty, but more importantly, my turn to answer God's call. To be completely transparent, I don't really feel worthy of being as effective as some of the other leaders in the church, and I certainly don't feel as effective as pastor. I'm not a biblical scholar. I'm just an ordinary person like everybody else sitting here. But I felt the call from the Holy Spirit, and I knew that if I was still, I could let him lead me. After pondering this for a couple of days, I finally volunteered to help out. That was on a Saturday. On Sunday, I came to church, and as Pastor started his sermon, he started with these words. Nothing was coming to me. And there it was. I'm not expected to be perfect up here, and neither is anybody else. But we are expected to answer God's call and to spread his message in our own way. In his book, Hamilton describes Wesley's troubles by stating, in his head, he knew salvation was purely a gift, but often in his heart, he seemed to be seeking to win God's acceptance. Wesley's struggles ultimately led to a crisis in his faith, similar to the crisis Martin Luther had 200 years earlier. You see, even John Wesley had struggles, but needless to say, he worked through those struggles and his crises, and he strengthened his faith, which brings us all here today worshiping in the United Methodist Church. God's word, though, doesn't always have to come from a sermon, and it doesn't have to come behind a pulpit. Sometimes we spread his message simply by the works that we do. We can spread God's message through our actions and the examples that we set for others. Have you ever experienced that someone out of nowhere unexpectedly says or does something kind? Just a gesture, whatever it might be, it makes your day. There's an old expression that actions speak louder than words. You see, people see our actions and they do take notice. Last week, for example, it was a rainy afternoon. I was a drenched rat standing in CVS, and some man comes out of the back room and he looks at me and he says, "Ma'am," I ignored the "ma'am" part. He walks past me and says, "You look very nice today." Believe me, I did not look very nice today. But that rainy day was a little bit brighter just by his words, and it was very kind. Have you ever walked down the street and a stranger simply smiles at you? It's happened to me, and I find myself smiling back. Try it. Turn to your neighbor and smile. And there you have it. They smile back. Because when we smile, the whole world smiles with us. Well, the same thing really goes for spreading the word of God. We don't need to be a scholar standing behind a pulpit. We can spread God's message with our acts of kindness and with the examples we set. God calls each of us to spread his message, but he has given each of us different talents and different gifts. We all have a different personality. If we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, we will receive a quiet message of how we can work through Jesus and do the work he's calling upon each of us to do. It's simple. It's free. There are no frills. It doesn't require fancy clothes or a lot of stuff. All that is required is faith. God has blessed each of us with so much, and we can share those blessings like the apostles did so many years ago by helping to spread his word. People will draw nearer to you. They'll pick up your cues. You may not even know, and they will follow your example. And there you have it. Today is my turn. But it's not only my turn. It's our turn. Our turn to pick up where the apostles left off. It's our turn to spread Jesus' message using the gifts that God has given each of us. Enjoy your day. And enjoy your turn.